Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Happy Wednesday to you, 909 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning into the program. One of my good friends, Steve Dunham, is here with me today. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Andy.
It's July, and we're going to talk school for a little bit, but not a lot of school going on right now.
Not a lot of school going on, but there's a lot of prep for the coming school year. Custodians are busily deep cleaning and doing all those preparations. They do a lot in the summer. They get so much done to make those schools nice for the kids.
And I can tell you there are certain positions in the schooling system that don't have summers off. And, you know, teachers, you know, have summers off somewhat. We'll talk about that, too, in a minute. But principals don't.
No.
A lot of school secretaries maybe have a scaled back schedule, but they're still working.
Yeah.
My mom was a school secretary for many years.
Uh-huh.
And Beck, she said she loved to tell. She passed away now, but she loved to tell a story about the time the kid brought a hand grenade to school.
Oh my goodness!
Now it was a dummy hand. It was they had filled it with cement or something. It didn't work, but you know when a seventh grader brings a hand grenade to school, you're a little bit concerned.
Yeah, a little bit concerned. That is a little shocking and out of the norm.
Yeah,
and you're like, who's your grandpa?
when we talk about the tragedies that happen at school, certain schools, and certainly they're sad nowadays, but I can tell you kids have been bringing dumb stuff to school my mom was a school secretary in the 80s and 90s, and you know they were confiscating guns and knives and hand grenades and all kinds of silly stuff.
Well, you and I have talked about this. We grew up in the time, And we all know teenagers are dumb. We were dumb. We did dumb things. I admit to doing very stupid things as a teenager.
Yeah.
And yet we grew up in a time when it was common. The week of deer hunt, kids would come with their guns in their gun rack in their truck and park in the parking lot and prep to head out after school, you know?
I can just see me and Steve sitting there as teenagers and leaning over to Steve. Steve, do you think I could jump that if I got going fast enough? You think if I got 100 miles an hour, think I could jump that gap there?
Oh, my goodness.
And
oh my
Steve would be like, yeah, man, let's do it. Rock on, dude, yeah.
Because we want to see you get hurt, you know?
You were in the car with me, though.
Oh, well. Yeah.
They did it on Dukes of Hazzard, right?
We may have tried to jump things, and we may have worn motorcycle helmets in the car while we did it. May have. It's possible.
Males between the ages of 13 and 18, 13 and 17.
13 and 33.
Okay, all right.
They're dumb. They're dumb.
Not a lot going on there sometimes.
And you think you're younger or more invincible than you really are.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay.
And you wonder why women's life expectancy is longer than men. And it's not that they're necessarily healthier than us when we get older. It's that some of us don't make it to older because we do dumb stuff.
We do dumb stuff.
Yeah. Well, welcome, Steve. Thank you for coming in today.
Appreciate I'm thrilled it. To be here. I love coming and visiting.
Do you get time off in the summer?
Just vacation days that I take on my own.
So you're actually working every day and doing your thing.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, we have a lot of catch-up to do over the summer. You know, sometimes you're during the school, when you have 35,000 children in the schools, mm-hmm. it can be very busy. And your day evolves at the snap of a finger when something goes south somewhere else or when something positive's happening and you've invited the media over to cover an event. So you put other things to the side and then you work on those things. And so, it can change very quickly. And so it is a big relief when the kids are home with their parents and you can just go, okay, these are the things I haven't gotten caught up on. Let's get those done.
I was reading some articles about this. The schools, the school system, the school district be involved in students' lives between the months of, June and August? Summer school, school food programs that go on during the summer, classes that kids can take optionally. Mm-hmm. Is that stuff, is it necessary? Is it important? Is it something that we should be promoting? We should be interested in?
It's very helpful to a certain group of students. There is a group of students that is very beneficial for, whether it's the lunch or whether it's the additional science programs that we have at our schools, or whether it's cooperating with the police department on their Get to Know a Cop events that they've done all summer. Mm-hmm. These are great things for a lot of kids that have a very positive impact, have a very positive reinforcement, whether your children are doing additional summer school classes online or makeup classes online, like maybe one of my children are doing, you know, because they haven't done so well in school.
I did one once.
And so that's good. And that's good. And then that also leads into the other debate of, is it better to have year-round school versus traditional school?
And I don't know if you remember, when we were younger, there was talk of year-round school. It was gaining momentum.
Well, and I had some of my kids in a year-round program up in Jordan School District, and it was a challenge. It's a challenge for children that have anxiety, that have different things, and they do better on a consistent schedule. And the 12 weeks on, or however many weeks on, and however many, 9 weeks on, 3 weeks off, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
That was a struggle because it screwed up the schedule every couple of months. And boy, that was a challenge. People argue that there's the summer slide. And that is arguable with some. With some children, it's true. With some, it's not. And some can jump right back into it, and it's pretty good. You know, there's all those things that you can discuss and look at statistics both ways.
I remember, and this was a long time ago when I was in public school, when, the first week or two of school in the fall, it was a weird feeling. It was like, now I got to start thinking again. I got to start. What you were talking about, the summer slide, reading scores tend to not go down. Math scores tend to go way down over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
My contention with that is, well, we read every day.
Yeah.
We don't math every day.
No, that's true.
So, but,
get your kids out in an accounting firm and help them, do those summer internships, you know?
That's right.
Or have them build a barn. There's a lot of math in building something where they're cutting, measuring, figuring angles. There is a lot of math in that. Mm-hmm. And so get them on a construction crew. They will learn their math.
I mentioned earlier, I did attend some summer school, and I'm going to fess up right now. I had a class that I don't think I failed, but I think it would have been a D on my record. What happens, I had a class, this was maybe sophomore year, junior year, and I got really sick. Mm-hmm. I was out for 2.5 weeks, didn't attend school for 2.5 weeks. Most of my teachers were very understanding. They would either send, they would send stuff home with a guy that lived next door or whatever, and I was able to keep up. I had one teacher in particular, and 99.5% of teachers are fantastic. There are the occasional teachers that are not.
As in any industry.
Right, right. And this teacher refused to help me. No matter how sick I was, she didn't care. She was like, too bad. You missed it. It's an F. It's a zero. And so because of my missed 2.5 weeks, I ended up with, I think it was like a D plus or whatever they had back then. And basically my choices were accept that in my transcript, my GPA, which as it turns out nobody ever looked at ever again, or go to summer school and try to make amends for that class. And so I did attend summer school. I got an A in the class in summer school and was able
That's because you're a smart guy.
Erase a D. It was actually way easier in summer school than it would have been. But it was a weird little stigma. It's like, so I hearing aids, right? Hearing aids are a stigma. Going to summer school, when you're a kid, man, if you have to go to a summer school, that's a stigma. All your guys are like, you're an idiot.
I know.
You know?
And they're out riding the BMX bikes around.
Making fun of you.
You know, the flip side is we have laws in place that protect children from situations like you just described now. We have those parent right bills where they can say, hey, no, my child is ill, and this is how we need to resolve it. And then you work with the school for a game plan, and the administrator works with the teacher that might be pushing back against that, saying, no, we're going to work with this family and make sure the child has the ability to accomplish what they need to accomplish.
Notice I'm not mentioning that teacher's name, and she was old then, and that was 40 years ago, so I'm guessing she's probably not with us anymore. But Yeah, it was a frustrating moment in my young life. Of course, back then, everything is so magnified, you know.
Yeah.
I was worried about my grade point average, which, you know, at the time was like 3.95 or something.
Oh, wow,
and
you're
I
good.
I was like, this is going to ruin. I'm never going to be able to get into a school, a college, or whatever. And, you know, it, as it turned out, like I said, it actually didn't matter that much. I still, you know, I got married and went to school, and things worked out just fine. But
that's awesome.
Summer school is interesting. So we were talking, who was I talking with yesterday? I'm talking with someone the other day about trade schools. It was Rory O'Neill, NBC News Radio was on, and he said there's a new Gallup poll out there that talks about how Americans are less enamored with colleges, four-year colleges, mm-hmm. like universities,
okay.
Than they have been in the past. Now, I grew up, my dad was a professor, my mom, as I mentioned, worked at a school. To me, getting a college degree was it. You went to school, you went to high school, and your goal in high school was to be prepared to go to college. And your goal, you know, when you got to college was to get a degree and maybe a postgraduate degree and enter the workforce with this big, giant package of knowledge. But Americans feel a little bit differently lately. They're not saying colleges aren't important, universities aren't important anymore, but I think Americans are starting to understand that there's more to life than getting a four-year degree.
Yes.
Career Tech High School is a perfect example, and I actually brought that up when I was talking with Jack the other day about this, that, you know, we try to fit all of our round pegs into these square holes or vice versa,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes that doesn't work.
No, not at all. In fact, if you look at the students we have today, you have an increased number of children with anxiety, as I mentioned previously, and ADHD. Now, take a child with ADHD and anxiety and tell them they have to go sit in a lecture hall for 45 or 60 or 90 minutes and take notes. It will drive the child nuts.
Yeah.
It will drive them crazy. And so suddenly you have an opportunity with a technical college where it's more hands-on learning. There's still some classroom, but there's a lot more hands-on learning. And when you take a child with ADHD and they have hands-on learning and they can see how what they're learning is going to apply to what they want to do in life, because I think, well, for me, and I hope most of the parents out there, I've tried to teach my children that they have to either be good at school or good at work. And you have to be good at one of those two things to be successful in life.
Right.
And if you're not good at school, then you darn well better be good at work.
Yeah.
Because that's how you're going to get through life.
And there's no shame in that.
No, not at all.
At all.
And so that's what we have found, and that's why we have Career Tech High. We have a significant population of children that are learning hands-on, that are seeing how their education is going to apply to what they want to do, that they already feel strongly about, and they can do it right there at Career Tech High with those eight pathways we have available for them.
So would you say now, though, that America doesn't really focus much anymore on people that make things as opposed to people that, you know, create ideas?
I wouldn't say that. Oh, gosh, Andy, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question, to be honest with you.
The idea now, and I don't know if this is true or not, but most of our make things jobs have gone overseas.
A lot of them have, yeah.
And so preparing our kids to make things is not smart. And I don't know that I buy into that argument completely.
And yet there's still a significant need here in our communities to make things, to create things, to build things. Mm. We have such a strong construction trade. We have such a strong HVAC, whatever it might be.
Right.
So kids are making things. They are learning how to do things. They are learning how to have those trades where they are building, they are creating, they are doing. Whether it's in technology, we have a strong technology down here and up along the Wasatch Front. We have strong opportunities for children that want to learn in these fields, and we're trying to provide more for those.
I take, I don't know if you know much about the Ram Corporation here, just south of town.
Just a little
bit,
not very much.
But I remember listening to their founders talking about how they got started, and they had, basically, they specialized in making a certain thing, and they had one of the aerospace companies come to them and say, we actually need this other thing. It's similar to what you make, but it's different.
Uh-huh.
Can you do that? And Ram Corporation, they didn't go, well, we don't do that, sorry. Mm-hmm. They went, let's give it a try. Let's see if we can do this. and they ordered machinery and they got people talented enough to figure out how to make what it was
to solve the problem
that was needed. Yeah, they solved the problem, and now look at Ram Corporation. They are growing exponentially. In demand.
Yes,
in the aerospace industry, which. I mean, people get it confused. Ram, but isn't that a truck? That's a Dodge. No, this is a different. Ram Corporation is a corporation that makes stuff for the aerospace.
Over by Costco. Yep. Yeah. And, well, in the Costco area, I should say.
Well, and down Sun River, down Exit 2.
Oh, they're down there now.
They have a big old plant down there now.
Oh, okay. So,
and, of course, like you mentioned, Tech Ridge, which
yes.
I think is going to bring a lot of, is not going to, is bringing a lot of really impressive tech companies to our town.
And they've partnered really well with Silicon Slopes up in the Utah County area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it really is. There is a strong, strong community of technology opportunities, engineering opportunities, problem-solving opportunities for children, throughout our community.
Let's go back for a minute now and talk about summer school. I found this article, Pros and Cons to Summer School. Let's get some, maybe erase some myths, and maybe you can answer some questions about summer school. Summer school, the myth is, or the thought, maybe not a myth, the thought is you go to summer school because you bombed a class, so that's the only reason you would go to summer school. Is that true or not?
In the most cases, I would say that could still be true. You also have the situations where children are progressing very strongly through an online course, and they recognize that they're good online learners, and they want to continue that. And so they may be doing online coursework through Utah Online, which is one of our schools, and they want to graduate early. They have a career path set out, and they know, hey, if I take these, I can finish it this year when I'm a junior or a senior early.
I know you can't see my screen, but it says pro. You can graduate early.
There you go.
It was like you read my screen, but you weren't even looking at it.
There you go.
So, yeah, that's definitely a positive thing. My kids were able to do a lot of concurrent enrollment stuff.
Yes, through the university.
Which was really cool.
And it's so much cheaper for parents if their children do that. You know, and it is a challenge because you have a 16-week, or is it 16 or 18? I think it's a 16-week course that's condensed down into 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So you're boogieing. Yeah. You're really boogieing if you're doing that. And we have some AP courses at the high schools that are also starting early into the summer. You know, if you're taking AP Language Arts, it may not be called that, but whatever it is, and they are reading books. And that, by the way, if I may interject, is one of the best things parents can do to help stop or reduce the summer slide. Have your children read over the summer.
Read,
yeah. Yes, please.
All right, let's talk about online a little bit. I've talked to you many times about this before. I have one daughter, hated online, was terrible at it, couldn't stand it. Another daughter who embraced it and loved it. And even now she's in her junior year in college, she takes as much as she can online classes.
Yeah.
Now, some of them you have to be there, you know, in your major or whatever. But there are a lot of classes you can still take at the college level.
That's right.
Online. Why do you think that is the difference? I mean, these two daughters of mine were raised in exactly the same home, and yet their reaction to online schooling was completely diverse.
You know, I can't speak to why they're like that, but I can make assumptions. And some of those assumptions that I've seen in a few children throughout our community include anxiety, whether it's social anxiety, that they don't like going out of home. They don't like being around others. They do sometimes perform very well on online courses because then they can focus on that. The flip side is that sometimes there's children, like I mentioned earlier, that do have ADHD and they don't do well online because they cannot sit.
Too many distractions.
Yes. Yeah. Or the video. If the video is longer, we have trained ourselves with social media that everything has to be a snippet, a couple of minutes. And so
TikTok,
if it gets
and reels and all that stuff,
and it's trained us in a bad way to be only have an attention span for the short time frame. And that is really detrimental to some online coursework. And so, you know, if you look at that and you go, well, hey, I think it's a good skill to learn because my child that just graduated, he is taking a summer class at Utah Tech. And again, it's condensed, but it's all online. And it's good to have that ability to be able to transition between in-person and online and be able to set a schedule for yourself and say, okay, I'm doing it from here to here. And for him, it's between midnight and 3 a.m. But it works.
Yeah,
it works. He puts in his 3 hours, and boy, he's keeping up on the class, and I'm proud of him for it.
You ever got one of those videos? We were talking about videos and short attention span, and it's like 20 minutes long, and somebody sent it to you. Hey, here's this. You ought to watch this. And you're like, And then they follow it up with, if you want to watch just the part where X happens, go to 8 minutes and 37 seconds. You're like, yes, I don't have to watch it.
There you go. There you go. And any video that's 20 minutes long has to be very compelling in the first 15 seconds.
And yet, if we found a really good movie that is 3 hours long, we'll sit and watch it. It's a weird thing.
You know, but isn't it interesting how the movies are today versus how they were back in the 80s? I've taken my children back to watch some of those shows that I've just enjoyed, and they are so slow starting out.
Really?
And every movie you see now normally jumps right into a chase scene or a fight scene or a whatever scene it is.
Gotta grab them.
Yeah, they grab your attention really quickly and draw you in, so you already have that buy-in on the movie. Where back in the 80s, it told a story. It kind of led up to things.
One of the cons listed on this pro and con thing is that it says your teachers may not be the same as they are during the school year. And I'm thinking to myself, my experience with summer school, and again, I just had that one class during the summer, the teachers I had were a lot looser. They were a lot cooler. It was a good experience. You got to see teachers, maybe they didn't even want to be there in the summer either, but you got to see them kind of, instead of the stoic, go to school, here's the lesson plan type teacher, it was, hey, I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt and let's talk about, you know, something not so serious.
I think for how summer school is done in our community, it's a little bit different. So we look at summer school and say, okay, we have so many children and we may have a lot of desire for summer school, but we may not have a lot of teachers willing to commit to that extra time for the small stipend they're getting for it to put in that. So ours is done on an invitation basis. We look at the children who we either think need the help or will perform well, and they're invited to participate in summer school unless they're doing online. So you are correct. As the teachers, if you're choosing to do it, it's most likely going to be online, and it's most likely going to be a different teacher. We have the few other programs that are, again, only a few weeks long, and those are more of a specific to one piece of curriculum, whether it's science or physics or whatever it might be.
I was reading a student had posted online about their experience in college and said that they were taking a class and they were kind of, it was an online class, videos, and they were kind of a little bit bored, so they got searching around the internet and they did a search on this college professor. He had passed away 4 years ago. She was watching videos that made 4 years ago. She's like, I'm taking a class from a dead guy.
Wow. Yeah. That's. I hope his family is still getting some stipend
they
from that.
They should, by golly.
I agree.
All right, we got Steve Dunham on the show today. We're going to take a quick break. Be back with more after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
I am Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in. 9:36 on KDXU. Steve Dunham is across the desk from me here.
Good morning.
KDXU Studios, the Disc Herniation Clinic Studios, technically. Steve, thanks for coming in. It's summertime for most of the people that work for the school, but not Steve. Steve's working every day.
Not for many. There's many of us that work year-round. We have year-round contracts, and we're constantly busy and doing things and getting stuff ready. So it's pretty good.
Mostly teachers have the summers off. Administrators, most of them do not.
Yeah, that's correct.
The whole district office, you guys are still going full bore, ready for the.
That's correct.
The summer.
So, and then the city moves in with the July 4th stuff, and we are parking across the street at the courthouse and trying to find out how to get in the building because there's merry-go-round and a tidal wave thing and all kinds of things going on over there.
Did you write any of those?
No, I did not. Did not write any of them. So
okay. Now you have a son that just graduated.
Yes.
Congratulations. What's his name?
His name's Peter.
Way to go, Peter.
Peter's doing really good.
And you're going to go on a trip with Peter, you and your wife.
Oh, yeah, we're gonna take him on a little vacation. We've tried to do that with each of our kiddos, and so.
And what do you do with the other kids while you're off with Peter?
They kind of fend for themselves.
And they're probably
here's some mac and cheese, and don't let the dogs die, you know? Come on, take care of the house. They're old enough to fend for themselves. Yeah, they'll be all right.
It was ramen noodles were popular in the Griffin household early on.
Oh yeah, mac and cheese for the Dunhams. But yeah. We haven't had that in a long time. They used to be quite a staple, but maybe my kids are traumatized by it because of that.
I think I am too. In fact I've gotten kind of I'm a macaroni snob now. Mm-hmm. I will only make my own homemade mac and cheese.
Oh, that's nice.
I won't make it out of a box. I found a way to, you can actually put it on the smoker, have smoked mac and cheese. That's pretty darn good, too.
I think I need this recipe.
You have a smoker?
I do.
Oh, okay. Let's do it after the show.
I'm very intrigued. Yes. Very intrigued.
Yeah. Now, I won't waste too much time on it. There are two schools of thought. Pre-cook the noodles and then do the, or I'd like to go ahead and put the raw pasta noodles in with all the liquid and let the pasta noodles cook while it's smoking.
And absorb it all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. There you go.
Two schools of thought. And you run the risk of having maybe some of the top of them not get immersed and maybe get a little crunchy or something when you do it that way as opposed to pre-cooking. But it's worth the risk.
That's good to know. Oh, that's awesome.
Smoked anything good lately, by the way?
Did some flank steak about a week ago.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Did you reverse sear it? No. Do you know what reverse sear means?
Yes, where you sear it first and then smoke it?
No, you smoke it first and then sear it at the end.
Oh, no. Yeah. We just seared it and then I turn up the heat and
seal
it up.
That works, yeah. I did a 12-pound pork roast.
Oh, my goodness.
It was actually, I say a pork roast, it actually divided into several pieces.
I imagine.
Over the 4th of July, though, and it lasted for like 5 meals. There was so much meat.
That's awesome.
We had pork nachos and pork burritos and pork. I mean, there was pork everything. It was really good.
That's awesome, Andy.
Great time of year for that. Although, if you're a smoker, you know that you have to be outside for a lot of it, and it's so dang hot.
But the flip side is I've realized that I can cook so many things on the smoker and not have to turn on my oven in the house.
That's true.
And so I can take all of that heat outside. Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good point. We were talking a little bit about summer school and the summer slide. And I'm curious now, how much, when school starts again, and we decided to, it's like August 11th or something like that, how much do teachers have to, how much time, how many weeks, I guess, do teachers have to spend kind of redoing stuff? You know, catching kids up, fixing them. Is that a big thing?
That's a question I have not addressed specifically to teachers recently. And so I don't know. I'm sure there is some review that takes place as they get into things. But a lot of things they're doing, they're kind of gauging that based upon the children individually in the classroom. So like with kindergarten students, we'll do some assessments early on, and I know that frustrates some parents because they want their kids in school and we're doing half days or whatever to accomplish those assessments, but it lets the teachers know where they are currently and what they need to be teaching so that they can perform better throughout the year. And because we do that at the beginning of the year, the children perform better by the middle of the year and by the end of the year. So some of these assessments that are going on early, while they might seem frustrating to parents because you just want them back, they really are beneficial. And there's a reason and a logic and science behind why we do it.
I was reading this study. Pretty cool. They said that, number one, most summer slide, even though it's a perception that it's a heavy thing, actually after kindergarten and first grade, summer slide is actually fairly insignificant in comparison. Kids tend to retain what they learned the previous year, the exceptions being more technical classes. For instance, if you're taking trigonometry or calculus or classes like that, you do tend to forget a lot of that stuff.
That's because it's all formulas. I would forget formulas too.
Yeah.
You know, that's a struggle to try and remember.
The Pythagorean theorem and stuff like that.
Yes, that would be a struggle for me.
It's still a struggle for me.
Yeah.
And I'm old.
Yeah, we are old. And maybe that's why it's a struggle for us, because it comes and goes so quickly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Old dog, new tricks, something like that. We're talking with Steve Downer, Washington County School District. Now, you mentioned the custodians and those out there who keep the schools in operation.
Yeah.
What kind of work are they doing? Obviously, deep cleaning, and ever since COVID, that's a big concern in the public. In the public arena, is we got to make sure everything is sterile and clean mm-hmm. and good. But I'm guessing it's more than just cleaning.
Well, it's cleaning and maintenance combined. So if you look at things, like we're doing deep maintenance on a lot of our HVAC systems, a lot of construction that might not be able to be done when children are in the building is getting done over the summer. And then with the custodian specifically, in almost every single school, they are stripping and refinishing the floors. And that provides a longer lasting coating on the flooring so that we get more life out of the floor, mm-hmm. but it also provides for the look and cleanliness of the building when they're stripping all the marks off, all the old wax, everything out, and they have to do that in sections. It takes days to strip, polish, refinish, and nobody can walk on it. Nobody can be in there. And so there's no way you could do that, during the school year. There isn't just not enough time to go through and do that.
And if you folks out there haven't been in a busy school during the school year, I my kids did public school here, and I just remember Fossil Ridge when they went to Fossil Ridge Middle School or whatever it's called, going there and during the day one time, and there were kids everywhere. I mean, it's not like... you're talking about wear and tear on these floors and walls and stuff. Well, I mean, when the halls are packed, when there's kids everywhere, the wear and tear is unbelievable.
This leads into a whole nother discussion that I'd be happy to answer questions from your callers if they'd like, but it's why good construction is so important in a school building. We have upwards of 1,000 children every single day going through that building. If you had 1,000 people coming through your home every day, what would it look like? It would look trashed, completely trashed, which is why you cannot build a school with the same construction method you use to build your home. It can't be what we call stick built, lumber and sheetrock. It has to be cinder block. It has to be steel construction materials. It has to be steel studs. It has to be these things that keep up, because when you build it to that standard, you then get a 50 or 60 year life out of that building, which is what your really goal is.
Yeah.
An example being Snow Canyon Middle School. The board just approved construction to begin on a replacement building for that. That building was built under a test of, we think we can build this a little bit more cost effectively. And it hasn't lasted us. It's 30 years old, 35
I was gonna
years
say,
old.
What, 90s, I guess.
Yeah. And it needs to be redone. And so that's about a half life that we should have gotten out of that building. And so it may have been cheaper at the time, but we're paying for that now. And I hope our taxpayers will see and understand that we are very efficient with our buildings, and our goal is to get 60 years out of those buildings. In some cases, we go longer. In some cases, it's slightly less. But in most cases, that's the average of where we're going. A roof is an average of 20 years. We can get 20 years. After 20 years, we have to look at replacing a roof. We can't wait for it to fail, because if it fails, it crumbles all the systems underneath.
That is really not something we think about.
Right? It is. Yes. No, it's not.
I mean, you're paid to think about it. We don't even, it doesn't even cross our mind.
And so if we come back to 1,000 children every day in this building, can you imagine what that's doing to the floors?
Wow.
And they're sliding and every once in a while somebody will come in with a scooter and we're like, no, you can't do that. Or they'll come in with a skate. No, you can't do that. Imagine what that does to a floor. And so right now the custodians are getting it all cleaned up, all shined up, and everything touched up so that it's ready for the new school year.
So are there schools in our district that are, you mentioned Snow Canyon Middle, but are toward the end of their life that need something else done, need to be rebuilt or whatever?
Snow Canyon is the one that we're most concerned with right now, and that's why the board's moved forward with that, and a game plan's go in place right now. It's starting right now as we speak. It actually began, it began with the, believe it or not, the reconstruction of the tennis courts over at Desert Hills, because those courts were cracked. And we knew we had to move the tennis courts at Snow Canyon High. So if we got a bundle deal, on both tennis courts, Desert Hills and Snow Canyon High. Hmm. We got a better price for taxpayers. We knew we had to do it anyway because we had a damaged courts there, and we were going to have to move those courts no matter what. So by getting that deal done together, we saved taxpayers money. Nice. We got it done, and we're able to start on these other projects we needed to build the school.
Nice.
There is a lot of planning that takes place.
Bundle and save.
Bundle and
save.
Washington
County School District. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, we're running out of time here in the hour with Steve Dunham, Washington County School District. Before we get back into it with Steve and growth and maybe a new high school somewhere sometime, let's give away a couple of complimentary red light therapy bed sessions from Thrive Drip Spa. Now, if you have, the Theralight 360 Plus is good for arthritis pain, tendinopathies, I guess, nerve pain, soft tissue recovery, sleep disturbances, low energy levels, poor circulation, musculoskeletal pain, stress and anxiety, and many other conditions. So if you would like two passes to, and each one is worth three complimentary, I'm giving away two so you can go with a friend, but I guess you can't share the bed with a friend. You have to go in a different room. But anyway, red light therapy bed sessions. Now, they're three sessions each, so it's actually, man, this is a pretty good deal. It's like six sessions. You can text me right now. What's a good word, Steve, for it? Is it just red light, I guess?
Yeah. Thrive.
Text Thrive. There you go, to 435-467-5842. Now, you said something, Steve, during the break. People didn't hear it, but I heard it. You said growth has slowed down in Washington County School District. What does that mean?
It means the economy home prices have risen so much in our community. It is really slowed the number of people moving in to Washington County.
Interesting.
And so we're seeing that we're going to be what we call flat, which it means we're really going to see maybe 300 kids this year, and that's flat for us. That's pretty low. Yeah. We normally don't grow by that little. And so, but it's still growth. It's 300 odd kids. And
a few normal ones too.
Yeah, odd kids. That's my apologies to anybody that took offense to me calling their children odd. Yes, the 300 children. And so that's pretty flat for us. And so it really has slowed. And so we look at how we can change the money that we have set aside for growth into maintenance projects. And then we can defer those growth projects for a little down the road.
Isn't it interesting? So the high demand, the old supply and demand thing, made it so that the prices went up.
Yes.
Because the houses were in so much demand. But with the prices going up, it meant that people who were demanding houses, who wanted houses, could afford them anymore. And so the demand has gone down.
It's just slowed. Yeah. It slowed a little bit.
Interesting. All right. New high schools. I remember, gosh, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I was talking with my buddy. He worked for a construction company that builds schools.
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh, yeah, anytime now we're going to be building a school out by Sand Hollow.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Because I said, how soon? He said, oh, it's going to be in the next few years. You just wait and see. And it hasn't happened, but he did plant the seed, and I've been thinking about that. If there is another high school to be built sometime in the next decade, Steve, where might it be?
It will be where the growth is.
Okay.
Now we have...
That was so political. Are you running for office?
No, but it's a fact. We have land in different spots throughout the county.
Okay.
And we have that specifically to try and accommodate the growth and alleviate pressure from as many other buildings as we can. So we're looking at, Desert Edge, I think it is, and Desert Color out south of the Beltway.
Okay.
Where there's a lot of growth there. Oh, so we look out there for land. We are also looking in the Dixie Springs area by Sand Hollow, and we have land there for a high school. However, with growth slowing, we can start looking at other projects. The other thing that has alleviated the pressure of a high school need is CT High. Right. By building CT High like we did, by building that, it took the pressure off of our other high schools so that the children that are going there, and it was a much cheaper building than a traditional high school. Hmm. So again, that's a wise investment for taxpayers. it really cost about a half or a little less than half, about a third of what a traditional high school cost. And yet it's alleviating the pressure off those high schools, which buys us more time to plan and prepare. We don't build a building until we have the children here for it. We don't want to build it and have it end up empty. And so every building we build is either close to where we need it to be, or we'll be there within a year or two, and we try and have it done.
How many students are going to be in career tech this coming year?
I think we're looking at close to 800 children.
800?
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
I'm trying to remember. I think it's 800 because it's about 200 per grade level, and it's 9th through 12th there.
And other schools in the area, about 1,200 or so,
yes.
The other high schools?
Yes, that's correct.
A little bit smaller, but still not tiny.
No, not tiny.
Not 200 kids or 150. 800 is a significant number. And I applaud, again, the idea that we quit trying to stick kids, the square pegs into the round hole or whatever, because there are kids that, you know, they don't want to major in philosophy. They want to, you know, learn how to fix air conditioners or learn how to drive a truck or learn how to, you know, program code, you know,
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities. We have the 8 pathways now, and career tech is also established with an opportunity for growth where we can add another section on and add another 8 pathways on. Then we'd be up to 16.
Wow.
And so it's pre-planned to have that growth opportunity available specifically for career tech as well. But again, we won't build it until we need it.
Yeah. I was thinking about a high school out by Dixie Springs. And, of course, we have Dixie High. So you don't want to name it Dixie Springs High School, I don't think, because that would be kind of redundant. But then what do you need to do, Sand Hollow High School?
Oh,
maybe?
I'll tell you, the one I struggle with is we have several schools with Crimson in the name.
Yeah, we do.
And several with Cliffs or Canyon in the name. And I struggle with those schools. I get them confused all the time. So I hope our board will be unique and call it Swirling Waters High or something. I don't know.
Swirling Are there any Swirling Waters out there?
No, but that would be awesome. Imagine they could be the swimmers, and they could just have an awesome swim team, and who knows what else. Aquatics, water polo, you name it.
He's Steve Dunham, Washington County School District. Steve, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Andy. It's
Thanks
a pleasure.
For coming on today. We'll be back tomorrow. Chris Staley, Washington City, is with me here on the Andy Griffin Show. Thanks for listening.